اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين، بارع الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى
وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في العالمين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, please recite the salawat.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
We've been talking about a topic that, as far as I understand, is something that is very relevant to us, something that is related to our position today as believers awaiting the coming of our beloved Imam, especially since seeing the signs of the awakening of the people, which according to the ahadith and the proper understanding of the cause of the occultation of our beloved Imam al-Hujjah ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu al-sharif, we understand that these should be some signs that hopefully we are approaching near the time of the coming of the Imam, and we hope and pray that this noble event, this magnificent event of a global just government being established by our beloved Imam occurs in our lifetime, inshallah. We mentioned that the people are waking up, they're starting to realize problems, and beyond that, they're realizing that they need to make a move. We mentioned, though, there's been a lot of people in history that have decided to make moves. The clearest example that is related to us are the people of Kufa. They also expected the coming of Imam al-Husayn. They also called upon him and said, "We are ready." They also said that we are wanting change. We don't want to be under the government of Yazid. They made those claims. They said we want to change. But then when the Imam went, they went to fight him, at least some of them. And others did not join him to help him. As long as we are like that, we're not going to see the Imam of our time coming. So we need to change that. We need to have the right objectives. When the people are awakening, what we need to do, which we stressed on, is first of all figure out what is it exactly that needs to change. What are we trying to accomplish? To make sure that's what we're aiming at. And if that's what we're trying to do, hopefully, inshallah, we can say that we are ready. With, of course, a couple of other things, which, if time allows us, in the following acts we try to touch on. So, based on that, we were going over some of the objectives that people have and they see as something that needs to change. The people that are waking up today are finding problems and they're trying to fix it, they're trying to change it. But what are these problems? What are the real problems that need to change? We need to identify them. One of the problems that happens when people want to create change, when people want to change the circumstances, is that sometimes you have objectives and goals that are good, that are valuable, that are acceptable, at least the word is, but then there's a bit of a change within our understanding of that objective. A word is used, a slogan is used, which is something that is valued, it is acceptable, it is good, it is something that is desired, but then the meaning of it is sometimes changed to something that's not desirable, something that is not acceptable. One of these concepts that we find, at least in the recent centuries, to be a slogan chanted by all revolutionaries, or maybe I should say almost all the ones that I know of are chanting the slogan. And that is the slogan of freedom. In any movement that I know of, today or before, one of the main slogans is that we want freedom. Look at the region. People are saying we don't want to be ruled by dictators. We want freedom. The people of Iraq wanted freedom. Saddam was truly, like, we cannot consider him human. He treated the people like an animal. The difficult times that the people had in Iraq is something that's, for many of us at least, unimaginable. I did not live under the apartheid, but what I've heard about it does not seem to be as bad as what the people were experiencing under Saddam. Very, very difficult times. They would say something on the street which seemed to be against Saddam. Sometimes the entire family would be tortured and sometimes killed just because of that. We want to free ourselves from this. Liberty, freedom. One of the slogans that was chanted during the Islamic Revolution in the Islamic Republic was freedom. We want freedom. We don't want to be restricted the way the Pahlavi regime is restricting us. We want to have the freedom to express our religion. We want to have freedom to express our views. We want to have freedom to write those down in our publications, freedom of press, and so on and so forth. These were slogans that were chanted. The ulama also chanted these slogans. This is what they said. Imam al-Hussein salamullah alayhi has been quoted to have said on a number of occasions and used the word freedom. For example, he has referred to the enemy and said that if you do not have a religion, at least be free and live as free men. What are you doing? Imam al-Hussein was trying to free the people of the tyranny of Yazid. This is what the Imam was trying to do, the tyranny of the individual and the ideology. Freedom. You can use that word in regards to the movement of the Imam. Actually, you can use it in a much more profound way. He made his move in order to free all of humanity. Alright, one can say that. However, what does it exactly mean when we say we want freedom? What is the objective that we are trying to accomplish and achieve? What type of freedom are we trying to, and what are we looking for? What is the extent of freedom that we're looking for? According to the Western countries, the modern world, there's a certain definition of freedom. Again, I'm from America, so I can say this about my country. The Americans claim to be those who are spearheading the movement in the world to spread freedom and democracy. We talked about the democracy part previously. Freedom. They even have the Statue of Liberty. We, I should say. I'm saying it because we're here in South Africa. We have the Statue of Liberty in New York. You can go and visit it. We have a lot of liberties in our Constitution. The freedom of speech, freedom of press, and a whole bunch of other freedoms as well. And I think it was in the Declaration of Independence where we had them saying that all people or all men were created equally and they're all free. And so on and so forth. There's plenty of that. And when you look at the media, when you look at CNN or Fox or any of these other news outlets, they're constantly proud of being an American as the freest country in the world. And wherever they want to attack another government, another nation, what they try to get onto them is that they're not part of the free world. You haven't entered the world of the free, if we may call it. One of the accusations, for example, against the Islamic Republic is that there's a lot of limitations. People are not free. People are not free to express their religion. I read recently an article, some brother in the United States, Muslim, maybe Shia, maybe not, I don't know, Muslim brother, was getting on to the Islamic Republic for sentencing a person who was previously, whose parents were Muslim, and as a youth he was Muslim, then he decided that he wanted to convert to Christianity. And he expressed that, and he became actually a priest in the Islamic Republic. This went to court, and the decision was obviously, we know, an apostate, in at least according to the majority of the ulama. And I say this as a precaution in case there are some scholars that I don't know any scholar that disagrees with this. Anyhow, the sentence is death, the death penalty. This brother is getting on to the Islamic Republic for not allowing the freedom to express your religion. Plenty of other liberties that are... So the Americans claim that we are those who are actually valuing this concept of freedom and everybody else should follow us. Of course, they don't say that there's a lot of limitations within the United States. They don't say that freedom to express yourself, even some of the freedoms that are constitutional, are actually limited according to the desire of some. They don't let you know that. I remember one of the things that is established as a law, I've even heard it's in the Constitution. I don't have that memory correct to say if it actually is or not. Maybe it is or maybe it isn't, but at least it is legal, whether it's in the Constitution or in the other laws that we have. It is legal to burn a flag in the United States. Even the American flag. I've seen clips of Americans who do not believe in the American government and they burn the American flag. But they're white. They're allowed to do that. If you want to burn the Israeli flag, however, in the United States, there's problems. I've experienced that. On Quds Day, one of the brothers decided to... Because we don't believe in the Zionist regime. There is no such a thing. It's an illegitimate government. They've occupied the lands of others. They've built homes. And they've considered their own states. None of it's valid based on international law. Forget about Islamic law. Based on international law, this is not acceptable. There is no such a flag. This flag is artificial anyhow. So this brother was carrying it, but he had hidden it. In the square that we were supposed to take it out, this brother was supposed to take it out to burn it. Okay. When he took it out, the cops realized that. They took it from him. He was about to be in prison. According to the law, you can burn that flag. They don't tell you that part. They don't tell you that so many things are hidden from the masses in the best way possible, because the masters of concealing the truth are managing the media. They don't tell you that. But let's just stick to the slogan. What they're saying is, this is liberty. This is the country where we have the maximum amount of liberty, and others should follow our lead. Some of the believers accept this form of liberty and liberalism, if we may call it, in their day-to-day lives. They actually even enjoy it. You know what they enjoy? Some people believe that some of the believers, this is actually a good idea. It's enjoyable to have nude beaches for those who want to go, have a liquor store on every corner for those who want to go, have nightclubs for those who choose to go, have all of that. And then have your masjids running. That's allowed as well. Actually, in shopping malls, you guys have masajid here, which was interesting for me to see. I don't know if they have that in some of the other countries. I know in the West we don't have that. You have the masjid and you have the mall. In the mall, you have loads of things. You can buy your liquor, you can go buy, I don't know, Playboy magazines, anything that you want, you can get there. But then we have this little masjid here as well. What's wrong with this? This is enjoyable. You get, one of the brothers' expression was this, you get the Western lifestyle and you get your Islam as well. What's wrong with that? Let it be free. Whoever wants to choose to come to the masjid and spend their entire day worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and avoid the sins, let them do so. Those who don't want to do this, let them go and do what they want. It's Islam. Islam is teaching us that we need to accept things based on choice. So we shouldn't force people. It should be a free country. This is actually what the Islamic Republic is doing. That's not really... It shouldn't be banned. And of course, it doesn't really matter what the Islamic Republic does. We're talking about Islam here. So what type of liberty are we looking for? Are we trying to look for freedom and liberty, meaning that we want to remove regimes that limit the freedom of people? So if we have a regime, if we have a government that is going to ban the sale of alcohol, then that needs to be changed. If a government, if a regime wants to limit the freedom of people in what type of clothing they want to wear, someone maybe want to come out at the beach even be completely nude, not wearing anything, sunbathing. If the government wants to restrict that, then this is against freedom. Freedom is a value. Is this the type of liberty and freedom we're looking for? What type of freedom are we looking for? Are we looking for freedom that people are allowed to express whatever view they have? These are very fundamental questions, my dear brothers and sisters. If we don't figure this out for ourselves, I know plenty of brothers and sisters who have automatically, based on where they live, or even if they don't live in countries that have that type of ideology, the way it is presented from the West, and a few verses and ahadith are added, it sounds very presentable. Yeah, you shouldn't limit this. People should choose to be good. You shouldn't force them. Alright, let's look at freedom in Islam. What type of freedom are we looking for? What is our definition of freedom? When you look at the theological aspect of freedom, okay, in theology, in Kalam, which talks about understanding the realities, understanding what is and what isn't, instead of what should be done and what shouldn't be done, we realize that Islam is very, very clear on this and disagrees with the Marxist perception of how things work and whoever else disagrees with this. Islam believes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created human beings to be completely free. 100%. There is absolutely nothing that forces them to make the choice that they make. One verse as a reference, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Dahr, or also known as Al-Insan, says, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ إِنَّا هَدَيْنَاهُ السَّبِيلِ إِمَّا شَاكِرًا وَإِمَّا كَفُورًا. We tell you what path to take. We give you the guidance. Whether you want to accept it or you don't want to accept it, that's up to you. You make that choice. Actually, in the end, hopefully, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the tawfiq to explain this properly, we say that this freedom is a value. It is, in a way, the most valuable thing that we have as human beings. Freedom. The liberty to make choices. This is something that we have, definitely. According to the Holy Quran, in our theology books, there's actually a discussion on this. Some schools of the Islamic ideology, some sects, have come to an understanding that seems to be, I don't want to say that they actually do, but it seems to be that human beings don't have a choice. God makes those choices for them. The Ash'ari school of thought apparently says this. The reason why I emphasize this is that there may be many people who consider themselves of the Ash'ari school of thought and they've read that same line that I have read. Maybe they have a different understanding of it. For me, what we understand of it, especially in the context during the time of the Imams, what we received from that time is that at least then, a great number of them did actually believe in the concept of jabr. Human beings don't have free will. Whatever choice you make is God's choice, it's not your choice. We fundamentally disagree with that. So human beings have got the freedom to make any choice that they want. But that's how a human being has been created. Every human being has been created with this ability to make their own choices. But that doesn't mean that whatever they do it doesn't have any consequences. Because what they're trying to conclude is that whatever I want to do, I should be able to do it, and you can't do anything to me. There should be no consequences, whichever choice I make. Whether I make the choice to come on the street fully clothed, or I decide to come on the street without any clothes, there should be no consequences. These are two different things. You have the freedom of making those choices, but each of them has got an effect. When we look at the laws of Islam, as an individual, before we get to the social level, as an individual, do we have freedom? Are we allowed to do whatever we want as Muslims? As individuals, do we have this freedom and liberty? Actually, we don't. We're very limited. There are certain things that we have to do. We don't have a choice, in the sense that if we want to live a prosperous life, we better do that. Yeah, we get to choose. You want to pray? You don't want to pray. It's up to you. But it's not like there's no consequences. If you pray, you have Amududdin. You have the pillar of your religion. If you don't pray, then even if you have faith and you leave this world, Shafa'ah is not going to... You're not going to be deserving of Shafa'ah, according to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's consequences. There's a lot of things that we cannot eat or drink. These are limitations. The law of Islam does not allow us to do certain things, and it mandates us and obligates us to do certain other things. We're not free in that sense. Yes, we have a bit of freedom. When it comes to طيبات, قُلْ مَنْ حَرَّمَ زِينَةَ اللَّهِ Tell the people who has made the zina, the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made look good, made to be desirable for the human being, that are beneficial, because he said that they are the طيبات. We have خبائث, we have طيبات. You have things that are good for you, and you have things that are harmful for you. Who has said that amongst the good things, that these are haram, and you cannot enjoy them? No, you can enjoy the طيبات. You have the liberty there. Between the Lebanese cuisine, and the Thai cuisine, and the Pakistani, or Indian, or Iranian, or Iraqi, or any of that, the different foods that are there, as long as it's tayyibat, you have a choice. You have that freedom. Amongst the drinks that are tayyibat, you have a choice. The clothes, you have a choice. You're not told to dress ugly, even for sisters. The hijab is mandatory, but they're not told to dress in a way that they're ugly. Okay. You have a choice. You can choose clothes that you like that match you better. But within a certain boundary, you have this limitation. We have plenty of them. When it comes to the social level, what Islam says is very similar. If you go and study the laws of Islam, look, it's very important, brothers and sisters. If we want to talk about Islam, comment about Islam, all right? Islam is not something that is made up by me or you or anyone else. Even the Holy Prophet did not make Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, if you change a letter of the Holy Quran, we're going to cut your jugular vein. This is not from the Holy Prophet as a human being. It's not a made-up religion. You cannot decide that you believe Islam is like this or like that. You want to make up your own religion? Call it whatever you want? Okay, that's up to you, but that's not Islam. Look at the laws of Islam. There's a lot of restrictions when it comes to the social laws. Look at the way that the Holy Prophet governed. Look at the way Amir al-Mu'mineen governed. Look at the laws that we have received from the Holy Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt. We're not allowed to give the liberty that the Westerners are considering that liberty and freedom. We're not allowed to. If anyone drinks publicly, they're going to be lashed 80 times. So open up a liquor shop. Anyone takes a sip of that, knock them down and lash them 80 times. You take the second sip, 80 times. Third sip, 80 times. You do that 3 times according to some of the ulama, based on their understanding of hadith, that's it, your head is gone. You can't do that 3 times. You can't do that 4 times according to others. In at least some of the punishments in Kitab al-Hudud. You can't do it whatever you want. You can't have relationships with other than your legitimate spouse. You cannot have that form of relationship. If you're caught having that form of relationship, whether you want to talk about it or others find out about it, and there's enough evidence to back it up, if you're not married, you get 100 lashes. If you're married, with the conditions that are there, you're going to get stoned to death. If it's rape, they're going to chop off your head with a sword. There's restrictions. We can't allow that liberty. This is what it is, but let's deepen that understanding. Why? Let's look at the concept of freedom itself. Is freedom in and of itself a value? Is freedom in and of itself good? Is it good to have freedom to do whatever we want? Actually, when you refer to the West, they even tell you it's not a good idea to be free to do whatever you wish. Is it good to be free to go and kill whoever you want? Just pick up a gun and start shooting whoever you want. Is that acceptable? I'm free, right? That's freedom. Is it okay if I want to have a relationship, God forbid, if a person wants to have a relationship with someone else and they don't like it, it's called rape, right? Is it good to be free to do that? Is it good if a legal system says, oh, it's okay if you do that? Al-ayadu billah, pedophilia, is that good? Is it good to say, oh, I'm free? These are things that everybody understands is wrong. Is it okay if I say, you know, why are you restricting my freedom? You know the jacket you're wearing? I like it. I'm going to come and take it off of you and start wearing it myself. I'm free. Why do we have these restrictions? There is no country in the world that doesn't have restrictions. You can't say, it's pretty logical. You go to the United States, you say that I'm from Cape Town, over there, we drive on the left side of the road, I want to do the same thing here, I want to drive on the left side of the road. Sorry pal, that's Cape Town. Here, you got to drive on the right side. There's plenty, plenty of restrictions. You wouldn't dare cross a red light, would you? Can't say I'm free. No, they got cameras there. They'll send you the ticket to your home. There's consequences. Why is it? What are these restrictions based on? We say that freedom is there for people to make good choices, to make the right choices. It's not there for you to make bad choices and wrong choices. The purpose of the freedom there isn't for you to do the wrong and make the wrong choices. Some of the wrong choices that are understood by everyone are things like I mentioned. Rape is a clear example. Stealing is another clear example. The traffic laws are clear examples. These are things that people say, look, yeah, you have freedom, but it doesn't mean you should make choices that are going to cause problems for others in society. But why? Based on what? He said that the freedom is there for you to make choices amongst good things. That's why we said the verse says you have a choice in the tayyibat, not in the khaba'if. When it comes to the khaba'if, things that are harmful to you, harmful to your soul, harmful to your existence, then those are banned. You can't do that. If they're harmful to other people, you're not allowed to do that. That's what it's based on. You're not given the freedom to make wrong choices. God didn't give you the freedom so that you can become a kafir. He didn't give you the freedom so that you commit fornication. He didn't give you the freedom for you to steal. He gave you the freedom for you to be able to steal but not steal. Okay, make the choice of, instead of stealing, go and help someone out. Right? He gave you the choice to commit fornication, but for you to choose not to, and instead say, I'm going to limit that type of relationship to married life and a marriage. This is based on haqq. Remember we said yesterday, I think it was, we finished this idea, that everything is based on haqq. What we are told to do, what we are told to avoid and to stay away from is based on that haqq. The reason why, as we said, everybody understands that this freedom has got certain restrictions on it. Everybody understands that. The question is, what are these restrictions? What is the extent of the restriction? That's the question. Going back to last night's topic, which I just remembered was different, about materialism, this is what it's based on. It's based on the idea that the human being is this body. If you accept that ideology, yeah, that form of liberty sounds perfectly fine. That type of freedom is perfectly fine. It doesn't matter what religion that you have. You can go and start propagating any religion you want. Doesn't matter, because really religion doesn't make a difference. There is no such a thing as a God. There is no eternal life. There is nothing awaiting you after death, so it doesn't make any difference. Do whatever you want. And if you want to limit this physical life of a person in this world because of their religion, that's wrong. It's based on this ideology. Based on the ideology that the human being is just this body, of course it's not allowed for you to take someone's life, even if they kill 100 other people. Why are you allowed to kill this person? Prevent him from killing other people. Why are you allowed to kill him? Take that life. Everything he's got and everything everybody else has is his life, and that's it. What right do you have to take that? It does make sense for people to say, why do countries have the death penalty? There shouldn't be any death penalty. Which of course, there's a lot of problems that arise from this. But based on the ideology that is not correct. The human being has got a soul. Human beings, all of them have got a soul. And the actions that we do affect the soul. Then when it comes to that, if that is the case, then we have individual laws. We have laws that protect our soul. We're told, avoid this, do that. For your own good, you have the choice. But I'm telling you, do it. It's good for you. When it comes to the social laws, again, when you only consider this body, a lot of these laws don't make sense. But based on the ideology of the soul, then by not allowing certain things happening in society, we are protecting the souls of the people. You only see the body, therefore only if I go and snatch something from my brother, you consider that violating their right. If I trespass their territory without their permission, that is considered the violation of their rights, because all you see is the physical boundaries. You don't see how not wearing hijab is trespassing the spiritual boundaries of others. You don't see that because you don't believe in a soul. You don't see how propagating and spreading false information and misinformation about religion, about wrong religions, about altered religions, is devastating to the souls of the people, because you don't realize that the soul of the human being is the haqq that will remain. And if the soul does not leave this world without faith, does not leave this world with faith, it is going to end up in hellfire for eternity. You don't see that, so you don't care. I can come spread misinformation and misguide tens, hundreds, thousands of people. That's fine, because there is no such a thing as a soul. Doesn't make a difference. But if there is a soul, then I am destroying the souls of these people. I need to be stopped. I'm not allowed to do that. This is the reason why Islam is so particular about its laws in society. You can't do whatever you want. Yes, in your own home, I'm not going to come and investigate. That's between you and Allah. But if, as soon as it becomes public, and you are affecting, you are trespassing the boundaries of other people, we are concerned. The same way that you're concerned about your property and other people's property. Now let's move up one notch. We said that, in a way, in a sense, Islam tells us that this freedom is actually, in a sense, one of the greatest gifts. In a sense, it's one of the objectives. A very noble objective to try to reach. But that freedom is different. The first one, the greatest gift. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created His creation, there were certain beings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created with all the perfection that they could handle. The angels. Sometimes people ask, why couldn't God create this world without these difficulties? Why did God create us with these difficult choices? Why did God create us that we see all these different things around us, but we're not allowed to have it? Why did He do that? Couldn't He just put us in paradise? Why did He create a universe that's filled with so many problems? Why did He create a universe that there's earthquakes that kill people, there are volcanoes that kill, there are tsunamis that kill, there are people that are capable of killing, and they have plenty of, now we have plenty of nuclear bombs. If they're used, they can kill a lot of people. And other warfare that are being used. Why did He create this in this way? The answer is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created beings that don't have these problems. If we want to call them problems. He's already created all of that. Any perfection that they could have received, they've already received. And they have it all. But there are certain perfections Atlam Misbah Yazdi recently, may Allah bless his soul and protect him and give him a long life. A man who's put a lot of thought in these beliefs of ours to try to present them in a way that is understandable. There are certain perfections that cannot be received without choice. Without you being able to make the wrong choice and not doing that, making the right choice, you wouldn't be able to receive this rahmah and this blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Without Prophet Yusuf being able, he's a very handsome man, and Zulaykha is supposedly supposed to be a very beautiful woman as well, and he's got the ability, everything is there, and he can do it, and he can commit the sin, but he chooses not to. That's when he can receive that rahmah. No angel can receive that rahmah. That's why no angel can reach what a human being can reach of perfection. They don't have this choice in the way we do. This is the greatest gift. A brief explanation, we can go on, but the time is late, we've passed our limit. It being a goal, freedom is truly a goal. But freedom from our desires, freedom of this limited body. What do you want to be free from? Limitations, correct? You don't want to be limited. In reality, anything that's related to your physical body is limitations. If you're free, if you free yourself of the rule of the body, then that's when you're actually free. That's the true freedom. This type of freedom is a very, very noble and valuable cause to work towards. Except that this freedom is freeing oneself from the shirk, again bringing those terms into mind, the shirk and taking ourselves under the ubudiyyah and the servitude of only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You want to free yourself from obeying anything, obeying my body, my desires, other human beings, any of that. You want to free yourself from that and become mukhlas and become only a worshipper and a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's an interesting story. One of the imams was walking by a house in Medina. This is when we mentioned one of the previous nights that a lot of the sins that the Holy Prophet had spoken against had become prevalent in Medina, unfortunately. And so music, drinking, all of that, sessions where they had girls come belly dancing and music and drinking, all of that. He was walking by a house. And he asked, there was a servant at the door, he asked, does this house belonged to a slave or a free man? They said it belongs to a free person. The imam said, oh, that's right. That's why he's doing what he's doing. If he was an abd, he wouldn't be doing this. If he would have been the abd of Allah, in a sense, that person received the message of the imam and he was shaken. He came to the imam repenting and asking for forgiveness. If one is able to make themselves only and only the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have freed themselves from the slavery of everything and everyone, including themselves. This is the type of freedom that is of value. This is the type of freedom that Imam Al-Husayn salamullah alayhi has. It doesn't matter how many people come or how many people don't come. It doesn't matter what people say. It doesn't